Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Building high pressure out in the western Atlantic Ocean is going to help Mother Nature remind us, the residents east of the Mississippi River, that summer is still with us. Look for increasing heat and sultry humidity Tuesday through Thursday for New York, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and the nation's capital. Meanwhile, in the Midwest and Northern Plains, an advancing cold front produces strong thunderstorms with heavy rains, possible hail, and a tornado threat across the Dakotas all the way into the western Great Lakes. And that front hangs down through the nation's heartland. And just south of that, abnormally hot conditions through Nebraska, Kansas, and down all the way through Texas, with high temperatures approaching the century mark and setting records in St. Louis, Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and all the way down to San Antonio and El Paso. We'll explore what's happening out west in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
What a magnificent night across North America. This is Sterling on Sunday. We are live. There's that incredible heat that only exists at this time of the summer, where you just walk outside and you're enveloped in this incredible gift from nature that we're safe, we're enclosed. Everything's going to be fine. You get near a lake shore, you stand on the edge of the road and you inhale and it's like, whoa, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live for 3 hours with you. It's a gift. It's the greatest gift I could possibly be given. Thank you for being with me tonight. I was watching this great series on Netflix called Kings of Cocaine, or Cocaine Cowboys. And it's about South Florida in the 80s. And the cocaine trade in South Florida and in Miami. And who ran it. And what's interesting is that basically it was run by two schlubby guys. And they were in charge of all the cocaine in South Florida. But then I remembered that in the early and mid-80s, I spent a lot of time in South Florida, a tremendous amount of time. And every corner, every billboard, every car, it all communicated one thing: sex, drugs, alcohol. It was a pure pleasure palace. The whole southern part of the state was a pleasure palace, and it was weird. I'm telling you, it was weird. The beaches were beautiful, but the women were more beautiful. The restaurants, the expensive restaurants, were packed. You couldn't get into Joe's Crab House. You weren't going to get in there. And the most interesting thing about South Florida at this time in the 80s was I was working with a radio station. I was working with WAXY, an oldies sort of radio station. I was working with Waxy FM. And what was fascinating was that the general manager said, when there's a major cocaine bust, our sales go down, because it had such a profound impact on the local economy. Every retailer suffered if there was a major cocaine bust. There was a lot of impetus from the community to not turn in coke dealers, because everything was fine, we're not going to bother anybody. But it was a violent place, and you could feel it. You could feel it at 2 in the morning. This was a dangerous place. In this special, The Kings of Cocaine, in this, I think it was a three-part special on Netflix. In this special, at one point, the narrator says, and the hotel mutiny. This was the center point for the cocaine kings. It was like their Wall Street. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. The hotel mutiny. And I look up and I look at the TV, and there is the logo of the Hotel Mutiny, which was the stylized logo of a pirate. And I'm like, oh my God. And I froze. I froze and my adrenaline went up. I had stayed at the Hotel Mutiny. I have been to the Hotel Mutiny, which was supposed to be the epicenter of cocaine trading in the 80s in Miami. One hotel. Let me tell you what was in the Hotel Mutiny. You go into the Hotel Mutiny, and on the mezzanine floor was a cocktail lounge. And as far as your eye could see, there were individual cocktail tables. And behind each table was one guy, one person. Not two, one. And what was on the table? A landline telephone, because there were no cell phones in 1982, 83, 84. There were no cell phones. This was the perfect spot to do business in South Florida, the Hotel Mutiny. There was a phone on each table, a guy behind each table, and they were doing business. They were doing business all day. But that was nothing compared to the hotel rooms. And I will share with you in just seconds what was in the hotel rooms. Coming up tonight, I've got the usual edition, the drive-through brew, your telephone calls, and a man who owns a Titan rocket silo. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. How do you prepare a guppy for a fish show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday?
What does a moped, a toilet camera, and a passed out woman in a wheelbarrow have in common? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. They're all coming up on Florida Stories.
When people talk about schools, colleges, the experience of going to college, they always talk about the expense and the suffering of, but really there's a big aspect of going to college that's almost never discussed, which is that it is perfectly normal for your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson to be homesick. People go to college and they get really homesick. I'll never forget when I started college, the first 2 months I was in so much pain and agony. I was calling home all the time. We get homesick. And one of the great ways to prevent homesickness is to give your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter something personal, special, just for them, that when they touch it, feel it, they smell home. They feel close to you because it was a highly personal gift that no one else can use. And the best gift to get is a MyPillow brand towel. The towel set is amazing. What it means for a kid to have their own set of towels is, first of all, it's a nice step to adulthood and away from your linen closet. They're not grabbing into your linen closet. And they don't have to use those awful, scratchy dormitory towels. The awful, scratchy dormitory towels. Well, now you can get a set of MyPillow towels, which are made of 100% USA cotton. They are extremely absorbent, yet they still provide that super soft feeling that you look for in a towel. The set comes with, ready, 2 full bath towels. These are big towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Usually these go for $109.99 for a very limited time. You can get this set for the low price of $39.99 if you use the promo code WALTER. Usually this set of towels goes for $109.99. When you put in the promo code WALTER, it drops to $39.99. These come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Even after they use it, if they don't like those towels, send them back. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee. How do you get these towels? You go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. In the center square, like on Hollywood Squares, in the center square on the MyPillow homepage, you will see radio offers. And there's a picture of Mike Lindell. Click on that. Put in my name. put in my name in the promo code box, and it's really sexy. You will see all the prices drop. Get your kid this great set of towels, this terrific set of towels, and you will be astonished at the variety of colors. The colors are amazing. These get delivered fast, super fast. MyPillow.com.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
3 hours of Walter M. Sterling every Sunday night. I spent most of the 80s in South Florida doing work on a radio station called Waxy, Waxy FM. And the thing about Waxy, it was a great oldie station, an adult contemporary station, terrific personalities, but I could feel around me everywhere in South Florida the drug trade, that there was a lot of shenanigans going on, the exotic cars, cars that no logical person could afford. But when I went there, there was always talk about this hotel mutiny. And it turns out that was the epicenter of the drug trade in South Florida. At the time, it was the hotel mutiny. Well, then I was in charge of a group of radio stations owned by NBC. Now, follow along. NBC, 30 Rock, a very serious, important company with a standards practice department that had no sense of humor. And I decided to take all the general managers, program directors, and sales managers on a retreat. And, of course, the best place to take them on a retreat was to Miami. What I should have done is recognize that NBC had a travel and conference department. They had people whose job it was to find the right location for conferences, proper hotels, proper restaurants, correct travel. I didn't do that because I'm very stubborn and stupid. Instead, I'm like, let's go to the hotel mutiny. I've heard interesting things about that. I say to my assistant, a very proper professional secretary, I said to her, let's book at the hotel mutiny. Let's book 30 people. And I need a conference room. And after a couple phone calls, she comes to me and she says, no, you're not going there. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's where I want to go. She says, no. She followed that up for the first and last time with a written letter to me saying, I have no responsibility for what happens there. Absolutely not. And she was hands off. That should have scared me, but gee, I'm an idiot, so it didn't. It comes time to go to South Florida for our company conference. NBC general managers, program directors, sales managers, NBC, not some dorky little company, a real company. What do? We get on an airplane. We go down to have our conference. Worse than that, my boss came. The president of broadcasting, Irwin Siegelstein, a very difficult man. A very difficult man who did not like me, did not think I was funny or interesting, and had a lot of suspicions about what I was putting on the air. I was putting on the air Dr. Ruth Westheimer. What? What are you doing? Okay, get this. We get down there, and now we're at the hotel mutiny. I'm with the creme de la creme of radio executives in America. I'm with the best radio executives in America. These are no-nonsense men and women. They took their careers very seriously. Now we get into the hotel mutiny, and we see, as far as the eye can see, individual cocktail tables with landline phones, one per table. And behind each table, there's somebody making a deal. I couldn't tell what kind of deal. I really didn't understand, but that was the least of my problems. My problems got bigger when we got to our rooms. Every room of the Hotel Mutiny at that time was different. How were they different? Well, they each had a theme. Themes were like the Panache room and the New York City room and the San Francisco room and the Bayside room, and they were each done in themes based on the name of the room. What was more interesting than the garish, loud decorations of each of these rooms was each room, the only way I can describe it, was they had an altar built into the wall. Each of them had about a 5-foot altar built into the wall with pillows, a lot of pillows, and a Moroccan-type lamp hanging from the ceiling. Each had a Moroccan-type lamp. Each of them had an altar built into the wall. I have no idea to this day what that altar was for. It, you know, you might think, well, it must have been for sex. So I don't think so. And it was an odd decoration, and it was about 3.5 feet off the floor. I feel confident that the bedspreads had not been laundered in a very long time. But each room was different. That was a clue that this was a very odd hotel. When I met with the woman who had booked the group, and I said, I need a conference room. She said, all right, I'll take you to our conference room, because I needed a projector. I needed to show our projections for the next year. I needed to do business here. She takes me to a room which was like decorated as a carnival. Garish colors, no window, you know, there was no shades, no drapes. It was like, oh my God, it was a crazy room. And she said, well, I can cover this up and you could project onto this wall. I could put up some sheets. I said, sheets? I'm having a corporate conference here. I don't want to project onto sheets. Well, that's the best I can do. And she felt very bad because she realized I should have never been there. Okay. We sort of made that work. But each room, you know, my management, all these people worked for me. My management thought this was the funniest thing they had ever seen. They had never seen anything like this. And remember, there were all sorts of characters in the lobby, people who our mothers did not want us to have anything to do with. Absolutely not friends from the neighborhood. Well, now we go to the cocktail lounge. We decide it's time to have a few drinks, laugh this off, make the best of it. Great. I'm sitting at a table, and as I tell you this story, my stomach is starting to hurt. I'm getting those little stabs in my stomach because this was so embarrassing. This was so embarrassing. There I am sitting with Kathy Lenard, the vice president of research for NBC Radio, a very proper and distinguished and brilliant woman in charge of research for NBC Radio. And you got to put this in context. I'm 27 years old. By some fluke, I got to be the executive vice president in charge of these jewel radio stations, these magnificent radio stations in New York, Chicago, Washington, San Francisco. They weren't in Des Moines. These were serious, important stations. These were the first FM radio stations put on in America. And I'm in charge of them. Now I've been put in charge of them. And all of my management is at this terrifying drug hotel. All right. Now we're sitting in a cocktail lounge. They're serving us cocktails one by one. They're going to the table. What would you like to have? Seems that all the drinks they brought out were blue. I don't know why they were all blue, but they all had Curacao liqueur in them. That was the big thing at the time in Miami. I'm sitting there with Kathy Lenard, a distinguished professional woman, and one or two of my managers, and probably Irwin Siegelstein, the president of broadcasting for NBC, the man who had the television stations and the radio stations reporting to him, and not much of a sense of humor. We're sitting there, we're being served, and all of a sudden, I hear over the loudspeaker, I hear Sarita. I hear Sarita over the loudspeaker.
Now here's Billy Preston and Syreeta Wright, no relation. With you, I'm born again. It was December 1979.
Come bring me.
I'm like,
your
what?
Softness.
So I hear Sarita.
Comfort me through all this madness.
And a blue pin spotlight right next to our table. A blue pin spotlight shining down from the ceiling right next to our table. And what appears in the blue pin spotlight? A woman and a man who are naked. not a little naked, they're completely naked. And they're dancing 1 foot away from me and Kathy Lenard and my boss. And what exactly, how do you react to two naked people 1 foot away from you in a cocktail lounge? I didn't have that memo. And everybody's staring and nervous. Like, okay, what do we do? We're supposed to tip them, thank them, express our love for them. What do we do? And we're listening to this music and we're watching them dance. And I kept figuring they'd move away, that this naked couple in the blue spotlight would move, you know, around to other tables. That isn't what happened. They stayed right there with us. Till the end of this song, they stayed right there with us. That was my experience at the Hotel Mutiny in Biscayne Bay in the 80s, in the early 80s, in South Florida. Therefore, I was in pain and agony when I saw The Kings of Cocaine on Netflix. And in the middle of this show, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they say, and the Hotel Mutiny was, whoa, was what? And there I was. I could see my career destroyed at the pool of the Hotel Mutiny. But there was no pool. The pool was empty. Imagine a Miami hotel in February with an empty pool and chairs around it that were rusted. Rusted chairs around an empty pool in Miami in February. I've had a very horrible and interesting career. Too many experiences like that. I'll share more of these stories with you coming up. Coming up, we have a man who owns G.T. Hill, who owns a nuclear missile silo. That's right, a nuclear missile silo. We're going to find out how you buy a nuclear missile silo, what you do with them after you own the nuclear missile silo. And he's turned it into a B&B. I mean, how do these things happen, and why do they always happen to me? It's not a bad question. Yes, it's the Titan Ranch, decommissioned Titan II nuclear missile silo. In Vilonia, Arkansas. Vilonia, Arkansas. It's going to be a big show tonight. I'm Walter Sterling. You can call in at any time at 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Let's go, go. Let's go, go, go with Chip Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. This is normally the hottest time of the year out west, the first 2 weeks in August. And the forecast shows exactly that, more dry heat, which is exactly what we don't need with the wildfires in the Pacific Northwest. We're looking for 99 degrees in Boise, Idaho, 108 in Redding, California, 100s all week in Vegas, with smoke and haze in the air from the wildfires. Denver, 97 degrees, 100 degrees in Sacramento. Portland, Oregon, 106 on Thursday. Seattle, 93 degrees on Friday. The summer monsoons return to the desert southwest, meanwhile, close to 100 in Phoenix, with thunderstorms on the forecast on Tuesday. Albuquerque, New Mexico, around 90, with thunderstorms Thursday and Friday. Now, if you want to escape the heat, why not try Fairbanks, Alaska? Chances showers all week long, with a high right around 60 degrees. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number because I am live. We're live. G.T. Hill has done something so bizarre that I had to talk about it with him. I had to share his time with you because G.T. Hill has bought an anti-ballistic missile silo. What made you do that?
Well, I mean, it's just pretty awesome to own one that you can. But yeah, I was envisioned buying one and turning it into a house, and I just happened to move to Arkansas many years ago via the Air Force telling me to, and found one for sale, and that was about 11 years ago, and we've been working on it ever since.
When you got the missile silo, the anti-ballistic missile silo, what was in it?
Well, it's per a treaty with Russia, they had to be destroyed in a certain way. So there's three main compartments. There's the original missile silo, 150 feet deep, you know, about 60 feet diameter. The middle area called a blast block, and then there's the launch control center. So all of it was full of water. The access portal, which is just like it sounds, the way you get in via stairs, or originally an elevator, was full of debris. It had been blown up, and so we dug it out and walked in after we drained most of the water. And yeah, it was kind of a mess.
Did it have a pump drain in the bottom of it, or did you have to put a drainage on the top?
We had to install pumps temporarily and then permanent just in case something bad happens. But we don't have to pump it out any longer.
Now, the control room, the control center, is that what you've turned into an apartment?
We have. It's about 4,000 square feet. I don't know where the apartment versus house demarcation is, but yeah, it's about 4,000 square feet, three stories underground. So, yeah, that's a full-fledged home now.
That's a big apartment. That's a nice apartment. That's a nice apartment. Now, does it have – I'm going to ask you crazy questions because I couldn't even consider that this could exist. Does it have windows?
It does not have windows. The top floor underground is still about 15 feet underground. So, nope, there's no windows. We do have plans to put in some LED TVs with cameras outside, so you will actually see outside through a TV. So it's a pseudo window-ish, but we haven't done
would
that.
Would it be normal to get claustrophobic in it?
We don't really get people that are claustrophobic. I mean, the ceilings are all about 10 feet high. You know, the hall in most common houses are a lot smaller than any room you'd be in. So, no, there is a fear of being underground that we've probably found, you know, 1 in 1,000 people have had. But no, not claustrophobia.
I keep thinking back to the 1963 World's Fair, where they predicted that this was the sort of housing that would become normal. And even as a small child, I'm like, I'd be scared out of my mind to be underground like that or under the sea. There are other big predictions. Now, how's the communications under there? Are you able to get the internet down there, telephones? How does it work?
Yeah, it has every convenience that a normal house does. We have cellular service down there via repeater. We have Wi-Fi down there. So, yeah, it's just, besides the lack of windows, once people are down there, you kind of don't know that you're underground.
You have turned it into a B&B. Has this been successful for you?
Very much so. Yeah, it wasn't the original intent. Originally, I just wanted to turn it into a home, but, you know, life changes, and we finally got the master bed and bath and the kitchen done. And, yeah, so it's we've been very fortunate and very thankful for how it's done. We've been between 80 and 90% booked since March of this year.
And approximately what is the rental charge?
Well, for Arkansas, it's pretty expensive. Kind of on the low end is about about $300 plus cleaning, but about $400 a night. Up to, you know, they can go sky's the limit from there. We've had large groups where it costs a lot more, but typically we tell people to budget $400 to $500 a night, you know, all inclusive.
That's pretty high. Do you have room service?
Sort of. We have a fine gentleman named James that gives lots of tours and takes, you know, kind of, it's about a 1-hour orientation and tour. And then we live on the property, so we help people out as we need. You know, we help them with their bags and all that. It's it's on the expensive side, but it's a bucket list for a lot of people. Most people don't get to say they've slept and entertained in a missile silo.
All right, this is a great conversation we're having with Mr. Hill, who owns a nuclear missile silo that's been decommissioned. He decided that this was something he had to have, and he turned it into a B&B, which means you can stay there, and you can find out about it where? Where's the website?
TitanRanch.com.
You wouldn't believe it, but you better spell it.
No problem. TitanRanch.com.
TitanRanch.com. I'm telling you, the reason every single promo code we use on this show is Walter and not Sterling is you can't believe how misspelled Sterling can be. But Walter, they get that right every time. Hey, are you having a good time owning this? Is this a fun thing?
It is. It sounds a bit cliche, but really we enjoy meeting all different people. I mean, just from, every walk of life, every occupation. So we very much enjoy that part of it. We enjoy the hosting and sharing a piece of history with people that may not have normally gotten to look at it.
All right. We're talking to G.T. Hill, who owns an anti-ballistic missile silo that's been decommissioned. It's an incredible story. It's been turned into a B&B, and you can find out more about it where? Where again is it, G.T.?
TitanRanch.com, TitanRanch.com.
And you're a very lucky man to have found James Copeland, who's a brilliant guy and a great worker, and I'm glad you two found each other. Congratulations.
No, thank you. We love the guy. He's great.
He's great. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much. 43 past the hour. And coming up, we have a terrible, terrible dad joke from Judy in Dallas. Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you prepare a guppy for a fish show? Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
What is a moped, a toilet camera, and a passed out woman in a wheelbarrow have in common? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. They're all coming up on Florida Stories.
Remember when you started college or you went away from home for the first time? You were homesick and you looked for things that made you feel comfortable. And one of those things is something you put against your body on a regular basis. And it's a towel, the set of towels. Many people got towels from their mom or their dad, or they stole them from the linen closet, and then they had them for 10 years. It was ridiculous. You need your own set of towels. You need your own set of towels in the colors you want, in the sizes you want. And the best place to get your own set of towels or to give a set of towels is from MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Here's what they give in their special kit, which is an astonishing offer. You get two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths that are typically $109.99. But for a very limited time, MyPillow is offering them for $39.99. They're usually $109. They are now $39.99. If you go to the MyPillow.com site, you will see a square that says Radio Offers. Click on it. Put in the name Walter, and you will watch. It's so hot. You will see the prices drop instantly from $109 to $39.99. You get two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. The other aspect of this is they aren't all just one color. You will see many, many, many colors, and you can pick the colors you want. These become your towels. MyPillow.com. Click on the center square. Put in the name Walter, and you will watch the prices drop. I mean, it's amazing to see it go from $109.99 to $39.99, so you get the set of towels you deserve. MyPillow.com.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
I know that you even seem to have lost that feeling.
Good evening. We are here to bring you the truth. This is the usual edition from Public Radio. This week, we present our final installment of Mall Things Considered. We go deep into the darkness of suburban malls to learn where Santa hides in July. First, let's go to the Lego store, behind the scenes.
Kind of put up these shelves today just to kind of help organize and somewhat get more room back. But a lot of the sets are unopened. Ultimate plan is to have these tables back here to kind of set up a big city and, you know, start displaying them.
That man is an actual adult. Welcome to our usual edition broadcast, Jim Stack'em High.
This is Mall Things Considered. You can make donations to either show at the mall. Rachel, we study how this giant commercial enterprise is dying. Is it excessive mall cop interference? When will mall cops be defunded? Is the miles you have to go to find the very wrong store, or that it takes longer to buy a shoe than to make a shoe? We explore the truths endlessly, because that.
But what about malls in exotic woke lands like Burma?
So it's been actually pretty hard to vlog because there's a live event going on downstairs. Not sure what it is, but there's live music and singing. So it's kind of hard to get a word in, but we're in between song breaks. So in a quick nutshell, just to cover kind of the layout of the mall, the ground floor, every time we come in, there seems to be some type of event drawing people into the middle.
Live from Burma, our cultural reach is vast.
Only Public Radio covers events in the U.S. through the lens of the rest of the world. A perspective that makes us feel dirty, overfed, and overgifted. This week you can calm your guilt like prom night in Jersey with a donation to Public Radio. When you make your pledge of $1,000, you'll receive a beautiful print of a lion eating pigeons in Central Park, and a lovely T-shirt showing Shawn Mendes.
We have exhausted our mall coverage as we have exhausted you. Now enjoy our house band from a tiny desk sitting on Stacy.
This is the best band. They're an alt surfer band. It's called Sitting on Stacy. The reason I don't like most alternative music is they take themselves so seriously. But these guys, Sitting on Stacy, they're funny. One of the members got recruited into the band because he was on stage wearing a dress. They have the bathroom sessions where they record a session in the bathroom because the acoustics are actually really good to record music. But man, these are great artists. Sitting on Stacy. Now, I have sent through their website a note to them twice now saying, hey, hi, this is a network radio show. It's not, you know, some stupid little podcast, or it's not some music streaming service. Something cute. This isn't cute. This is hardcore actual radio. And I've put out a note to them saying, hey, come on, I will interview you. We'll talk. We'll discover how many women you have as a result of looking the way you do and playing this incredible music. Oh, Judy in Dallas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Judy.
Hi. You know, Walter, I was just wondering. I wonder if the Earth makes fun of the moon for having no life.
Having no what?
Life. Light.
Light.
L-I-F-E, light.
No life. Does the Earth make fun of the moon for having no life? For having no life. Got it, Judy. Thank you very much. It's a bad dad joke. I appreciate it. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. There's a story that really has me scratching. and I want to share it with you because I'm like, what the heck is this? There's a let me find the story because the details I fear are important. There's Mike Doucette, very important man, one of the few people who actually understands this show, and we pray for him to have a long and happy life. There's Justin McCarty, a new Midnight Misfit. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. But where is this story? I'll find it. Just a second. I wasn't planning to do it now, which is why I don't have it. I'll have it. Hold on. I'm not very professional. Why would you think I was professional? Do-to-do-to-do. And then I turn them the wrong way. You know, and I'm in a laundry room. There's a limit to what I can do in a laundry room. But I'll tell you what should be in the laundry room. There should be a national advertiser that makes soap in the laundry room. And then I started to think, well, maybe what I should do is sell soap. Maybe, yeah, maybe that's what I should do, is actually sell soap. Britney Spears went topless 4 times this week. And, of course, there are no problems there. She should immediately be relieved of her conservatorship. Well, I'll find the scary story, but this I love. In Thailand, you know, in Thailand, they have monkeys. Everywhere you look, they have monkeys. Now, because of COVID, they somehow or another got the monkeys off the street. I don't know how they did it. Hordes of angry, hungry, and pugnacious monkeys are once again causing problems in Thailand as they battle for food. In March of last year, hundreds of monkeys from the well-known rival monkey gangs were filmed swarming the streets of Thailand, then savagely battling each other for a single banana. And the fight has once again taken to the Thailand streets. The primate syndicates who are used to being fed by tourists, see, the tourists are gone, held another huge rumble this week after the domestic travel ban slowed tourism and caused another food shortage. Well, there it is. It's innate. It's innate. The monkeys were born ready to fight. The monkeys were born with brains that said, okay, you're in this gang, you're in this gang. Your shirts, your skins. They were born this way. They drifted off into gangs and started fighting over bananas. We're the same way. Human beings are the same way. We are born looking for people that we hate. And then we go to war. It could be with Frank in accounting. In my case, it's Frank in accounting. It's anyone in the HR department. I was born hating them. Perhaps you were. That's how we are. You know, whenever I hear anybody say, you know, we should all get together and form teams. We should do teamwork. No, I'll be a team player if I'm on the Yankees. I'll be a team player if I'm on the Guardians. That's stupid. That's when I'll be a team player. Until then, it is my nature to look for enemies, hold resentments, and torture them. I realize this isn't very spiritual, but that's the way we get to keep bananas. All right, coming up, you and I should talk at 888-688-WALT. And I have an email that I answer every email that I get, and Karen knows this, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I have a spectacular web page where you can find out every single thing about the show. The web address is waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. I have a lot more for you tonight. Do not leave us. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Building high pressure out in the western Atlantic Ocean is going to help Mother Nature remind us, the residents east of the Mississippi River, that summer is still with us. Look for increasing heat and sultry humidity Tuesday through Thursday, for New York, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and the nation's capital. Meanwhile, in the Midwest and Northern Plains, an advancing cold front produces strong thunderstorms with heavy rains, possible hail, and a tornado threat across the Dakotas, all the way into the western Great Lakes. And that front hangs down through the nation's heartland. Just south of that, abnormally hot conditions through Nebraska, Kansas, and down all the way through Texas, with high temperatures approaching the century mark and setting records in St. Louis, Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and all the way down to San Antonio and El Paso. We'll explore what's happening out west in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
Jared Dilliam is a brilliant financier. He is one of the few people in North America who can explain what Bitcoin is. Nobody can. Every time somebody explains what Bitcoin is, I just think the lie is getting bigger. But he has a more interesting theory. But first, let me explain that he generates a newsletter called the Daily Dirt Nap. And you want to subscribe to that. Is that what it's called, Jared?
Yeah, you can go to dailydirtnap.com.
And I was talking to him the other day, and he explained to me why Jeff Bezos got a divorce. And I'm like, that was the riskiest business decision that man could have possibly made, was to get a divorce. Nothing could have been riskier than for a multi-billionaire to say, oh, gee, I'm going to get a divorce. What could be riskier? But then Jared explained to me exactly why Jeff Bezos got a divorce.
Well, you know, Jeff Bezos was carrying on a relationship with this woman named Lauren Sanchez, who was a journalist. And let me just, you know, Jeff Bezos is worth $200 billion. He's the richest man in the world. And actually, it's more than that when you consider what he gave to his ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott. And he wanted to get a divorce because Mackenzie Scott no longer shared his values. Okay, and those values are that the power of the human mind can create good and wealth in this world, and that there should be no limit to someone's success. And Mackenzie Scott no longer believed that. She believed that wealth should be redistributed. So that's why he made the choice to go with Lauren Sanchez.
She believed that wealth should be redistributed. Is that what she believes?
Yes, she's actually made some statements since the divorce. And first of all, you know, she received $36 billion worth of Amazon stock in the divorce. The stock was non-voting. The stock went up and is now worth $64 billion. She's given away $8 or $9 billion in the course of a year, which is the most money that anyone has ever given away in a year. She's given it to 268 different causes. But she said some things about how there should not be such a concentration of wealth in the United States.
I'm pausing because everything you just said is terrifying to me. That a woman that wealthy, that influential, believes something that wacky.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, and she, you know, so far she's been consistent with her beliefs. She's together with a science teacher now, just an ordinary high school science teacher from Washington State. It'll be interesting to see if she gives away the rest of the $64 billion. I suspect she won't. I suspect she'll keep some for herself.
Well, she'll need a car. I suspect she'll she'll keep some for herself. The interesting thing when somebody is a billionaire or more, one of their dilemmas is what to buy, because are they just going to be ostentatious, or are they going to buy just fun little trinkets? It's an interesting problem. What do you do?
Well, you know, Jeff Bezos, there's no limit to what he could buy. He could buy the entire Major League Baseball. He could buy the NFL. he could buy 1,000 of the most expensive houses in the world. He's currently building a $500 million yacht, but that's really not what he's spending money on. He hasn't spent money on much of everything. He's been spending it on going to space. And really the only substantial amount of stock that he sold over the years is to fund Blue Origin, which is his space company. And if you see interviews with him back in 2000, he was saying 21 years ago that his ultimate goal was to go to space.
What I think is pathetic is that with Jeff Bezos and the guy at Virgin, Richard Branson, that the United States government has said, no, sorry, guys, you're not actually astronauts.
I do agree with that, because they didn't actually go into what you would call space. They went to the mesosphere. They went about 60 miles above the Earth, and they got to a place where there was zero gravity, but it was not actually space. I mean, Jeff Bezos will get there eventually. Branson won't. I mean, the goal of his company is space tourism, and, you know, for people to spend $3 million on a trip and experience a couple of minutes of zero gravity.
You're right. All right, Jared Dillian, what's the name of your blog again?
It's the Daily Dirt Nap. You can check me out at dailydirtnap.com. There's a little nav bar on the left. You can click on subscribe, send me an email. I'll give you a discount for listening to the show.
Thank you very much for being our friend. I appreciate it. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in seconds, street-level, tough interview with a real Grubhub driver. That's for you on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. How do you prepare a guppy for a fish show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday?
What does a moped, a toilet camera, and a passed-out woman in a wheelbarrow have in common? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. They're all coming up on Florida Stories.
Even with all the nonsense, I bet you're going to have a vacation this year. August is the big vacation month. Or maybe you're going away to school in September. There are certain things that we need to take with us. Are you going to go to a hotel and sleep on those pillows? Is that what you're going to do? No. It's time to take your own pillow, or as I like to say, my pillow. You go to mypillow.com and get your own pillow. Put in the promo code Walter, and you will see the price of the MyPillow pillow drop dramatically. That's right, dramatically, by $40. It goes down in price by $40. The MyPillow pillow is an amazing pillow. Here's why. When you get the MyPillow pillow, it doesn't become your pillow until you open it and you decide it's time to have the MyPillow pillow, and you put it in the dryer for 15 minutes. You only have to do it once. You put it in the dryer for 15 minutes and boom, it comes to life for you. It becomes your pillow. Then you can wash it whenever you want to, dry it whenever you want to. You put it on your bed, it holds its shape, it keeps you cool. It's a remarkable experience. Now, you take it on an airplane, you take it on a train, you go to a hotel, it's still your pillow. MyPillow.com. Go to the center square on the MyPillow.com website. Click on it. Please do this. Put in the name Walter. You will immediately see the price of the MyPillow and other products come down dramatically. $40. You put it, it's normally $69.99. You put in my name, it drops $40. That's what you get. You get $40 off, and I get credit for sharing this information with you, my friend. MyPillow.com.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
About a year ago, my thumbs hurt me a lot. Every time I used my laptop, they hurt me a lot. I had arthritis in my thumbs. Then I started taking Hyland's Flexmore medicine. It's a homeopathic medicine that helps relieve the pain of arthritis. Hyland's Flexmore medicine. I started taking it. These are delicious pills. They're yummy. I take them in the morning. I take them at night before I go to bed, and after about a month, I went, what is different about my body? Why do I feel different? I went, Oh, it's the Flexmore medicine. It's the Highlands Flexmore medicine. Highlands is a leading maker of homeopathic medicine. Find out about all of their medications. Go to Highlands.com, H-Y-L-A-N-D-S, Highlands.com. Find out about their incredible medications.
Where you're hearing things,
where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, it's so exciting to be with you. I'm very happy to be with you. And as
hey,
you know,
I'm a funny man.
Him? He's not a funny man. And he's my dad.
You know how embarrassing it is to have your 9-year-old say you're not funny? It's pretty embarrassing.
So growing up, I went to a very she-she summer camp, very she-she, private school, all this stuff. And I was very public, public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's, they go to St. Tropez. I was like, we go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park, if we're lucky, you know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open, the windows you have to slap down, the radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it type of beat. And he was like, listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the Isles of Gristides. This is Gristides, a supermarket chain in New York. He said these kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the Isles. And so that's what I did.
Drew, you drive for Grubhub. And I've got to tell you, I'm pretty jealous of your job. What are the hours that you work?
I work late at night, usually from 5 p.m. until 11 p.m., even sometimes midnight.
To me, those are the ideal hours because there's a softness, there's a gentleness of the night no matter where you live, and there's a little less traffic, and people are very happy to see you. It's not like the rush at lunch where it's like, where have you been?
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact that it's less bright, it's not as hot. Less traffic, it's more peaceful, I really do believe.
Now, Drew, you're in Las Vegas, where heat is an actual issue. What was the temperature today?
It might be, 108 or so, 106. Okay, so it was a cool day.
I can't even imagine it. I cannot imagine what that feels like. How many Grubhub deliveries do you make on most days?
It could be anywhere between 4 to 10. It just really depends. Sometimes I get multiple orders on the same one, you know.
What's the correct tip?
With Grubhub, it's kind of nice in the way that it is actually defaulted about 20%. And a lot of times people like to put a minimum of anywhere between $2 to $5. Typically $5 is a decent tip.
Is there a pattern to who gives you a good tip and people who don't give you a good tip?
It seems like, in general, if I don't get a tip, it might be from someone who is younger. Sometimes some of this generation that's being raised now they have access to funds and may not even have a job yet, they may not appreciate what is going on, and sometimes that might happen through that. But typically through Grubhub, it's quite encouraged. A lot of people, you know, leave it the way it is. And maybe they're just too, you know, drunk or something else to tell what's going on, which is nice. I'd rather have them stay at home.
I would suspect that if somebody is younger, they just don't have the money.
That too is also possible. I've had some people say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't have enough money. I had enough money just to buy this expensive meal, but not give me any tip whatsoever." And I'm kind of scratching my head, but. Okay.
And how do the tips work? When they write the tip down on the credit card or the ATM card, how does it work? Do you get the money that night?
Yeah, per order. So whatever they're charged is fully in that entire amount. So it's billed completely at the same time, all digitally through the app. So and I've had people give me cash tip in person, which is really nice and not expected as well.
So share with me the most exotic thing that has happened to you as a Grubhub delivery guy.
Yeah, there's been some real interesting things. I've had some people who forgot they ordered something and wanted to try to maybe hit me with a bottle when they opened the door and then saw that it was me and then was like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. But Yeah, the most exotic thing is when right now we have a contact free because of the pandemic, that we just leave the food and just message the person and walk away. Before that, though, we'd have to knock on the door, make sure they answer, and hand them the food so it's confirmed that it's to the right person. That's when the interactions were quite interesting. So I haven't had those kind of, you know, interesting things in a while. And I delivered to this one young woman, maybe 24 years old, and she opened the door and peered around outside of the door, and all I could see was her face and cute young thing. And wanted me to bring it inside, which made me a little scared. But I'm like, oh, okay. You know, maybe this is something you see in certain movies, right? And right. I go inside. She closes the door behind me, and she's kind of blocking the way. She's not wearing hardly anything. She is topless. And so, therefore, I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's one of those things that you see, you know, that you see and then people write about. Okay. Except one thing that completely turned it was apparently she's babysitting two young children, one 7-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl in the apartment, and they're running around. And I do not understand what is going on. And she doesn't seem quite with it either, like maybe mentally, not quite sure. Don't know what's going on, but I feel now that I should probably get out of here while I still can. I'm looking for cameras. Is this some kind of a practical joke? No, doesn't seem like it. I do not know. I wish I could have been able to follow up. I said, okay, here's your food. Okay, thank you. You have yourself a wonderful night. I felt like the need to get out of that situation. Not how I thought something like that would end, but I don't know what you would do in that situation otherwise.
She seemed out of it, right?
Like perhaps maybe on some kind of pills or something, like where – I don't know. You know, she was able, she had her faculties about her. She had some weird little random paints. I'm not sure if it was makeup, kind of messy on her face a little bit.
Oh.
She was basically like an 8 out of 10, you know, someone that's quite attractive, but I'm not sure what is going on.
It's too bad that there appeared to be a golden opportunity for you to have free reign, and instead... And instead, it was a dangerous situation. And I'm sure if you had pursued that anymore, you would have found yourself in jail because of those two little kids.
The 5-year-old girl didn't seem to care what's going on because, you know, she's five. And a lot of times mothers, you know, are used to being around, you know, the daughters like that. So, but the 7-year-old boy looked quite uncomfortable, and as I would be if I was in a situation. And he didn't say anything. I was kind of looking at him, and I was kind of like looking around, wondering why, what is this? And it was a very nice, expensive apartment as well, one of those kinds that looks over the entire city.
Right.
It has a great view. So that's also, it wasn't like, say, if it was a slum, you know, crack alley or something. So I just blew my mind. Don't know.
Right. And you don't know if dad or boyfriend was passed out in the bedroom. And he might have come to, and he might have come to at any given moment. Well, these are great stories. Now, you got to make a deal with me. Drew,
yeah.
Drew is a Grubhub driver in Las Vegas. Right there, that's a whole city of dynamics between Grubhub driver and Las Vegas, a 24-hour city of which there should be more. It's always a thrill for me to be on KXNT because of the 24-hour city. Oh, I got to ask you this. Have you been to the Pawn Stars shop? Have you been there?
Driven by it. It is downtown Las Vegas. For a lot of people that live here, it might be too busy and touristy to be down, like on the Strip, but that's more of a downtown old area. And from my understanding, it is so busy that it's a long line, an hour, just to get inside. So it's more of, I looked at it as driving by. It's not a brand-new-looking building or anything. It's from anything you've seen in the store. I would like to go inside to see all their cool stuff, and that's what most people do. They don't get a lot of activity. I believe they might even close business because it just was not making money and they're actually losing money.
As a pawn shop, it was losing money?
Just because it's mostly filled with people that just want to look at stuff.
I see. So it was sort of a pawn museum. And
yeah.
they weren't pawning anything. It was just a pawn museum. That was the problem for years with the Sharper Edge stores. Do you remember them? The Sharper Edge stores had beautiful displays, really interesting things like magnets that hovered above sand and unusual rafts and sleeping stuff and all. But people would go to the Sharper Edge store just to look, and they couldn't afford the stuff. It wasn't particularly practical by design, and it got in a lot of trouble because of that. I wonder if that's happening also with the Lego stores.
I remember with Sharper Image being that, and always go inside and never buy anything. Yeah, exactly. I've never been to the Lego store.
All right, so Drew, here's what we're going to do.
Yes.
On a regular basis, I need you to call the show and give us updates on being a Grubhub driver in Las Vegas. And what that's going to do is change your day. You're going to look at the world differently, knowing that your job is to gather things for Sterling on Sunday, to gather things up for this show so you can share them. You're a great storyteller. You have great stories. And by the way, I shouldn't tell you this because I hate you. You have a great voice. And, you know, I hate people with great voices. So thank you.
I like your voice, too.
Thank you for listening to my show. Will you do that for us?
It would be an absolute honor.
You like the show?
Absolutely.
All right. This is Drew, Grubhub driver in Las Vegas, who listens to us on KXNT. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Coming up, Dr. Dave has a new weather report for you and an update on the fires in Sacramento, in the Sacramento area. What else have we got? We have the drive-through brew. This is the time of year for the drive-through brew. This is peak season for driving into someone's house and having complete strangers load beer into your trunk. This is a thing. This is a business in Parma, Ohio, and in North Carolina at the Outer Banks. Have you seen that series on the Outer Banks? Did they shoot it at the Outer Banks? Why doesn't the light look right? It doesn't look right, does it? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. This is normally the hottest time of the year out west, the first 2 weeks in August. And the forecast shows exactly that, more dry heat, which is exactly what we don't need with the wildfires in the Pacific Northwest. We're looking for 99 degrees in Boise, Idaho, 108 in Redding, California, 100s all week in Vegas, with smoke and haze in the air from the wildfires. Denver, 97 degrees, 100 degrees in Sacramento. Portland, Oregon, 106 on Thursday. Seattle, 93 degrees on Friday. The summer monsoons return to the desert southwest, meanwhile, close to 100 in Phoenix, with thunderstorms on the forecast on Tuesday. Albuquerque, New Mexico, around 90, with thunderstorms Thursday and Friday. Now, if you want to escape the heat, why not try Fairbanks, Alaska? Chances showers all week long, with a high right around 60 degrees. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Yeah. For our first Florida Story, we're going to Key West, Florida, where four Floridians from Port St. Lucie decided to have a weekend vacation in Key West. After bar hopping, getting a little bit intoxicated, the two men and two women were walking back to their hotel. Check that, motel. And one of the women was so drunk she was having trouble walking. So a 45-year-old Florida man with her sees a wheelbarrow at a nearby construction site, goes and grabs it, puts her in it, and starts toting her back to the motel. Well, as a joke, to try and wake her up, he decides he's going to pour a beer on her head, which it does wake her up, but her friends are not too happy. A fight ensues. He pushes the two women to the ground, and then the guy tackles them, and they're rolling on the ground. He ends up biting off part of his ear. Yeah, like Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. And then he just runs off. Cops find him a couple properties down the road. He says, it wasn't me. They were like, Florida man, you literally have blood dripping off the side of your mouth like a vampire. Other than that, though, how was your vacation? Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Pembroke Pines, where a martial arts instructor is in trouble because you'll never guess what they found in the girls' bathroom.
The owner of a martial arts academy finding himself in handcuffs, accused of placing hidden cameras to spy on his students in the bathroom.
And I'm not victim blaming here, but I think they should have been a little suspicious when the new brand of martial arts he was teaching is called Taekwondo. What? Oh, come on. How the hell am I going to get booed in my own segment? Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going to go to Lee County, where a 33-year-old Florida man was causing a disturbance in a Publix. That's their grocery store chain that's real popular down there. So he gets kicked out, asked to leave, refuses to leave, so they call the cops. Before the cops show up, he jumps on his moped. When's the last time you've seen someone rolling in a moped? And he tries to run from the cops, literally in a moped, doesn't make it very far. And when the cops pull him over, they ask him to explain himself. And he tells them, officers, I'm an undercover FBI agent. So they got his ID, and they ran it. You're not going to believe this. The guy getting in a fight at the produce section and escaping on a moped wasn't actually an FBI officer. Man, you can't trust anybody these days. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are sparking dating rumors after they were seen holding hands at a friend's wedding over the weekend. A source tells People they were in Montecito, California for the wedding and were, quote, affectionate around their friends as they held hands and looked very happy. The source adds that they've been dating for a few weeks. The pair are also seen holding hands in their formal attire and masks in photos obtained by Page Six. They were later photographed at Harry's Los Angeles home with luggage in tow. Their outing comes weeks after People reported that Olivia and her longtime partner, actor Jason Sudeikis, had split in early 2020. The pair first started dating in November of 2011, and Jason proposed shortly after the holidays in 2012. They share two children. This fall, Olivia and Harry worked together on the psychological horror film Don't Worry, Darling, which also stars Florence Pugh. Olivia pulled double duty on the project, co-starring and directing.
My topic is female orgasm.
I just think that you said it, just to be stupid.
We need to get you dressed.
All right. Whose voice is this?
We need to get you dressed.
Who is saying that?
We need to get you dressed.
One more time.
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. You know who that is. I promise you, you know who that is.
We need to get you dressed.
But you wouldn't put it in the context of him getting somebody dressed. That would be a whole new thing. Who do you think this is?
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. And if you get it right, you will win a prize. A prize that you actually will want. I don't want to get into which prize it is or its value, because then I got all kinds of other problems that I don't want to get involved with. Now, there's all sorts of talk in talk radio about, you know, what we should do next. I went to a conference, and every topic at every conference was, what do we do next? What do we do next? What do we do now? What do we do now? And I've always had a very simple answer to that, that, of course, nobody wants to hear, which is, why don't you just talk about your day? What I talk about is my day. And if I were to meet you in the food court at the mall, I would say to you, where did they get bourbon chicken? Why isn't it in Chinatown? And then I would talk about my day. But instead, they have all this other crap.
The right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
The brilliant Neil Rogers, one of the greatest talk show hosts who ever lived, the king of South Florida radio. Nobody's friend, by the way. He wasn't like a beloved guy, but on the air, he was amazing. He was lightning in a bottle. Everything he said was on the money. It was brilliant.
The right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
He was on WIOD, and I worked with WIOD for a nanosecond. That always involved dealing with Neil, not having lunch with Neil, dealing with Neil. But I do best when I have lunch with somebody. I was born to lunch. That is my genetic disposition. I said to Neil Rogers, a wealthy man who was well paid and a heavy set man who was well fed and a diabetic, I said, let's go to lunch. And, okay, that's fine. We had to go to Denny's. Now, I figured Neil Rogers in South Florida was going to take me to one of the great Jewish delicatessens in South Florida. That wasn't going to happen. We were going to go to Denny's. The reason we had to go to Denny's, Peter Bolger, the reason we had to go to Denny's was none of his listeners would be there, and nobody would bother him because he hated to be bothered. We go to Denny's. He didn't take off his sunglasses. He wasn't going to look me in the eye. He didn't want to deal with me. He didn't want to know anything about me. He was just, you know, he was ordered to have lunch with me, and that's what he did.
The right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
888-688-WALT. Who is this?
We need to get you dressed.
Listen again.
We need to get you dressed.
Get it right, you get a prize. I'm not going to make you actually have a conversation with me because I realize it's taxing at this time, but there you are, coming back from the beach, the lake, that house you rented that smelled bad. All the things that could have gone wrong went wrong. I understand what summer vacations are. And this was a tricky year because you have no money. Nobody has any money. Don't feel bad that you don't have any money. Most people haven't worked for large chunks of the past year. You're lucky to have gotten together a down payment for the rental house, and good for you. But it's a tough time to go on vacation. What is often forgotten in the romance of vacations is vacations are expensive because not only do you have your normal expenses at home, you have the additional expenses of the cat sitter, the dog sitter, the insane amount of gas that you have to buy. And, oh, gee, thanks, Mr. President, for kicking up my gas by $1.50 over last year. I'm paying, you know, almost $4 a gallon. It seems to me it's the same gas. And now you're there and you want to take them to an amusement park. Well, sections of the amusement park are closed. And then did you see this at Lake Tahoe? At Lake Tahoe, they've closed off part of the lake. And they've closed off part of the lake because of the plague, not COVID, because of the plague. And I will reveal what that is to you in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. My number is 888-688-WALT.
We need to get you dressed.
Who is that? 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. How do you prepare a guppy for a fish show later tonight on Sterling on Sunday?
MyPillow.com. I have said to the MyPillow people, if you want to be on my show, you must offer a special price, a special promotion on your products for Midnight Misfits. And they went, oh, okay. And here's what you do. You go to MyPillow.com. In the home page, right in the center of the home page, is a radio offer square with a picture of Mike Lindell. I mean, it's a spectacular color picture of Mike Lindell. You can't believe how incredible his hair looks. You click on that. You put in my name, Walter, 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 and the price will drop $40. Boom. The price will drop right away. It'll go down to $29.98 for a MyPillow pillow. There's something about the MyPillow pillow that nobody seems to talk about. You want to know what it is? It only comes to life and becomes your pillow when you decide it should become your pillow. And the way that happens is you throw it in the dryer once for 15 minutes, and it comes to life. It expands. It becomes warm, cozy. It becomes your pillow. You don't do it every time. You just do it once, and it brings the pillow to life. Go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, and learn about all the incredible products that are much cheaper when you enter the name Walter, much cheaper. Now, these offers are going to run out soon because, you know, they're going to get scared because I don't know how they do it. I think they're losing money. Look at the towels. Look at the sheets. Look at the mattress topper. These are incredible products, top quality products, beautifully wrapped and shipped fast. Please go to MyPillow.com.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Would you like to win a cool prize? You want a cool prize? Tell me who this is.
We need to get you dressed.
All right, listen again.
We need to get you dressed.
Kirk in Pittsburgh, welcome to KDKA and welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Sterling, first-time listener and caller.
Well, how's it going for you in terms of being a listener?
Well, I'm confused, and that's why I called.
Yes.
Because KDKA is a conservative radio station here in Pittsburgh?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Okay, well, okay, maybe it's not. But we have, okay, you're actually right. It's more of like a 50-50 split.
No, it's not.
So anyway, so...
No, listen to me.
That's not why I called.
No, but listen to what I'm going to say, because it's important. KDKA has hosts. Some of them are conservative, some of them are not conservative, but the station itself has no opinion. You never heard an editorial on KDKA.
Well, you don't live in Pittsburgh, and I have heard those conservative editorials, but that's okay. I mean, the nice thing about human life, we can disagree, right?
Yes, sir.
But I'm not a conservative. I'm like a moderate, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's not why I called. I was bothered by your interview with the Grubhub guy.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't pleasant.
Why?
Well, you tell me.
Why wasn't it pleasant?
Well, I mean, didn't you hear that Grubhub driver tell you that he left two children in a possibly abusive, neglecting situation and didn't call the police? All you cared about is if he got boinked or not. And he admitted that he didn't try to help two children.
I heard that. I did think of that.
So why didn't you challenge him on that?
Because I don't know how long ago it was.
Well, so the reason it spurred me up, and I don't know if you know this, but, you know, we're in Pittsburgh, but we're not very far from Happy Valley. Do you know what Happy Valley is?
No.
Okay, so that's where Jerry Sandusky raped all those boys.
Got it.
So it's a very, very delicate subject in Pittsburgh because there's a lot of Penn State alumni and there's a lot of Pitt alumni. And I went to West Virginia University, and I don't really care either way, right? But anyway, so bottom line, my son was 10 years old when this went down. He was raping 10-year-old boys. And unfortunately, men... And I know you're a man, and I'm a man, too, and I can hear in your voice that you're caring, and so am I. And what I'm scared about is that what I heard, and I'm not ripping on you, but I heard both of you, someone ignore a very big red flag that's occurring in this country, and it doesn't have anything to do with politics. It's just that, you know, we are scared as citizens to help each other out and protect each other because the government's not going to do it. The police aren't going to do it. So we need to protect each other. And so when I heard that, and I think you've just missed it, and that's okay, and I appreciate your opinion. But what I heard was all he had to do was pick up the phone and call 911. Because I'm a man. I get it. When I first started to hear that story, when he mentioned the breast, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I thought that's where it was going. And then all I heard was, wow, he could have called 911, waited for the police, and said, I think there's something going on in there. Because let's remember, too, that girl probably is mentally challenged. I mean, in the sense that she probably needs mental help, right? Because who walks around with her boobs hanging out with two young children, right? Those people, they're not bad people, but they're in bad mental situations, right? So I guess my only point was that I heard a man that could have called 911. Right, because that's really simple. So what happened in Pittsburgh and what happened in Pennsylvania is that Joe Paterno decided not to call 911, okay, and ruined his life. So I guess I'm just asking you, because you have a nice voice, by the way, you do have a nice voice, and you have a platform. And I'm afraid that men are afraid to be men anymore. I'm afraid that we're afraid to help each other out anymore. And we miss warning signs that can lead to huge things. That's my thought. How about you?
Kirk, excellent points. You're absolutely right. And thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. Stuart, you're on Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi there. I think I have the mystery voice for you.
Let's listen.
We need to get you dressed.
Who's the mystery voice?
It sounds like the guy that never seemed to age, Rob Lowe.
That's a very interesting idea. It's in the same food group, but it's not Rob Lowe, and I thank you very much for your call. Thank you. All right, Alex, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Who do you think this is?
We need to get you dressed.
I think it's Michael Kelly.
Forgive me for being stupid. Who's Michael Kelly?
He's an actor.
I don't know who he is, and I know everything about acting. Everything.
I'm guessing that's not the voice then?
No, it's not the voice. Where are you driving?
Driving between San Francisco and Sacramento.
I love my job. What a great thing. Here, I've got you between Sacramento and San Francisco. How is it tonight? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. There's a lot of smoke out here in California.
Yeah, so are you near those fires?
No, I'm pretty far away, but that smoke is pretty significant. It's covering the northern half of the state.
Can you see the orange flames?
No, I cannot.
All right, well, I really appreciate the call. I'm sorry, that's not who it is. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday on KFBK. All right, you can win a prize if you know who this is.
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up, we have the drive-through brew, where we discover what it's like to work in a drive-through brew, a beer barn. You drive your car in, some guy puts beer in your trunk, and you go home happier. It's really an American invention. I don't think it's Spain or Portugal that they have drive-through brews. In fact, I would bet that there are no drive-through brews in Spain or Portugal or Russia. I'm pretty sure there are none in Russia. And you drive in, you tell them you want a T-shirt, cigarettes, beer. They put a bit in your trunk. It's perfect. It's perfect for a pandemic. It's remarkable, isn't it? It's fantastic. And we'll hear about that and how it works. We'll hear Velo, who will explain about his many guppy problems. I'm always surprised at how many guppy problems he has. And we'll talk to you at 888-688-WALT. And it's Mike Doucette, the great Mike Doucette, is making it possible for you and me to be together tonight. And I thank you, Mike Doucette. We'll talk a little bit more about his business coming up in just seconds. Well, I think we've covered everything, don't you? Yes, I do. 888-688-WALT.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Building high pressure out in the western Atlantic Ocean is going to help Mother Nature remind us, the residents east of the Mississippi River, that summer is still with us. Look for increasing heat and sultry humidity Tuesday through Thursday for New York, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and the nation's capital. Meanwhile, in the Midwest and Northern Plains, an advancing cold front produces strong thunderstorms with heavy rains, possible hail, and a tornado threat across the Dakotas all the way into the western Great Lakes. And that front hangs down through the nation's heartland. And just south of that, abnormally hot conditions through Nebraska, Kansas, and down all the way through Texas, with high temperatures approaching the century mark and setting records in St. Louis, Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and all the way down to San Antonio and El Paso. We'll explore what's happening out west in my next report. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
I am J.J. Wilson with another episode of Drive Through Brew. Now, unfortunately, Jake and his manager must sometimes refuse service to unruly customers. Let's listen.
Welcome to the drive-through. You look familiar. Were you ever a truant officer?
Hey, yeah, you probably know me from my YouTube channel. I'm Mr. Fix Anything in 15 seconds.
Never heard of you.
You have a broom? I can fix that flickering fluorescent light up there.
Well...
Never mind. I'll use my shoe. Watch out! There! No more flicker! What else you got?
Nothing.
Well, I see you have a spot of mustard on your shirt there, young man. Come here a second.
Hey, that's my favorite shirt.
Stand still. There! All gone!
Get out.
By the way, Mr. Manager, your front teeth look a little crooked.
Out.
Right, so watch my channel and don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Will Mr. Fix Anything in 15 seconds ever leave? Listen next week when he says...
By the way, there's a fly on your credit card machine. Let me get my sledgehammer. Got him. You're welcome.
That's next time on Drive Through Brew. Word Car speaking.
And it's coffee break time at Denison Close, Route 22, Union, New Jersey. Open 10 a.m. to 5 in the morning and open now. Reopens again at 10 a.m. and is open all day Saturday till 12 midnight, closed all day Sunday.
We need to get you dressed.
Who do you think that is? 888-688-WALT. Wade in Kansas City, welcome to the big show. Hi.
How you doing? Is it Alec Baldwin?
I'm very happy that you're here, Wade. That's how I'm doing. I'm very happy that you're here. Who do you think that is?
Alec Baldwin.
It is not Alec Baldwin, but that's a good guess, and I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Pat in Delaware listening on Delaware 105.9. Hi.
How are you?
Well, Pat.
Happy Sunday morning. It's Monday morning.
Do you enjoy the show? Do you love the show?
I do.
Why?
I'm down to earth, honest.
Thank you.
But I like. No smoke.
No smoke, no theories. I have no theories. I just share my day, Pat. So who do you think that is?
There you go. I think it's Richard Gere.
Why? Why do you think it's Richard Gere?
Yeah, I think he's talking to a pretty woman.
Got it. Got it. I'm sorry. Sure. It's not Richard Gere, Pat. It's not. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Heath in Illinois, welcome to the Giant Network Radio Show. Hi.
Hey, great to be with you.
Hey, good to be with you.
I think it's Topher Grace.
Now you're getting smart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Heath is getting much closer to the food group. That's not who it is, but you're much closer. Do you enjoy the show, Heath?
First time hearing it on KMOX here in St. Louis, and yes, I enjoy it. It's a good format.
Isn't that a spectacular radio station, KMOX? I can't begin to tell you what a kick it was when they said, "Well, and your show's going to be on KMOX." I'm like, "Really? Have they heard my show? Have they actually listened to my show?" And so it's a great honor, and thank you for listening. Tim in Albany, New York, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hello.
You know, I went to college in Syracuse. I understand that part of the world. And I understand that you and I are the only people in America who know what pizza should taste like.
It's a beautiful place, and the pizza is great.
Because you go 50 miles either way from Albany and Syracuse, and the pizza's horrible. And it doesn't get better. You have to be in Albany. You have to be in central New York to have great pizza.
There's some great pizza.
Now, where are you right now? Because it sounds as though you're at the bottom of a well.
Oh, sorry. I'm on my way back from a show. I'm a musician. I just played in Lake George, New York.
Congratulations for being able to book a show.
Yeah, I play for a full time for a living. That's what I do.
What do you play?
I play acoustic guitar and I sing. I have a solo act. And I play like 5-6 nights a week.
That takes tremendous skill and determination and persistence. So good for you, Tim. That's huge.
Thank you. I love it.
Huge. Well, who do you think that is?
I think it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
An excellent guest, and nobody would be embarrassed with that guest, but that's not who it is. But thank you for the call. Thank you very much. 888-688-WALT. Who do you think this is?
We need to get you dressed.
888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. When you pack your kid up for college or your grandkid up for college, you usually forget to put in towels. But they need towels. They need towels. What they don't tell you is the towels that are provided in the dorm or the apartments or the laundry service are not only scratchy, but they smell bad. I swear to you, the towels always smell bad when you get to college. And then they get shared. They land on the floor of the bathrooms. It's disgusting. What are their options besides that? Stealing from your linen closet. Do you want them to steal your towels again? No, it's time for your kid, your grandkid, to get their own towels. And it's a great gift. Here's what you get with the MyPillow.com towel set. You get two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. Two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They typically retail for $109.99, but now this special price is $39.99 if you use the promo code Walter. When the MyPillow people came to Sterling on Sunday, I said, well, yes, I will share information about your company, but you must offer Sterling on Sunday listener something special, a special offer they can't get anyplace else. And that's what this is. They said, all right, we'll come up with something. And this is what it is, a gift for kids going back to college, people going away from home. Usually the towel set's $109.99, but for a limited time, this isn't going to go on forever, you can get this set for the low price of $39.99 if you put in the promo code Walter. Go to the center square on the homepage. It says radio offers. Click it. Put in the name Walter and watch the prices go down, down, down. MyPillow.com.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
A lot of our work is on Zoom. We do a lot of our work on Zoom. And that means a tight shot of our face. How I shave has a profound effect on my career, and the best and closest shave I can get is with Harry's razors. Harry's razors shave me, and it's incredible how smooth it is. It's almost in the fourth dimension, the sensation that I have when I shave with a Harry's razor. Harry's razors are made in a 100-year-old Swedish factory. This factory's been making steel blades for 100 years, but Harry's, unlike other companies, as they improve the blades, they don't pass the costs on to you. These are reasonably priced with a beautiful handle, many different colors, not just one ugly color. And the shaving cream, the Harry shaving cream with the remarkable aroma, this is what you want. Harry's shaving cream, Harry's blade, Harry's handle. You will get a shave that'll make you look good on Zoom. Harry's.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too. It is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walton, let me tell you a great story from my book. So if there's one thing the NYPD doesn't screw around with, it's drug use. From the time you're hired, in your first 2 years, you get drug screened 3 times. From there, at any point in your NYPD career, you get summoned to the health service division. It's almost like the mafia. You have to go. And if you don't show up and if you don't provide a urine sample within 24 hours of that notification, you're terminated. So early in my NYPD career, I was transferred to a slower precinct up in the Bronx. The place was somewhat of a dumping ground for guys that the department didn't know what to do with. Had they either beat a case or they had gotten served with, they had lost vacation time. So they kind of kept them in this place to kind of keep an eye on them because nothing was going on. Well, in a span of 6 months, three guys were terminated for drug use. One guy in particular was trying to get out on disability and would man the precinct phones. So what he would do is, when the desk officer would take a break or go to lunch, he would help himself to the keys, open up the property locker, and take money, drugs, or guns, and sell the drugs and guns for money, or use the money on the street to buy heroin. So while this is going on, he bounced a couple of checks at a local bar, which turned out to be his undoing. It sparked an internal affairs investigation. And while this is going on, the guy, one of the cops that runs our precinct club comes up to me and goes, you know, you're a real pain in the ass. And I says, what are you talking about? He goes, stop stamping money with the red evidence stamp and using it in the vending machines. He goes, the bank is looking at me funny. I says, well, I'm not doing it. I was known as a practical joker around the precinct, but I had nothing to do with it. Well, it turns out, in addition to stealing crack and drugs, this guy was stealing money from vouchered money that was supposed to be used as evidence. And he was so out of it that he would tear open the envelope and buy himself a soda and candy in our vending machines that was stamped red with an evidence stamp. So that's a story from my new book entitled NYPD Law and Disorder.
888-688-WALT. I love Vic Ferrari. Thank you so much, Vic. How lucky is it that we have a retired New York City police detective who contributes to the show every single week, Dixie, in Salem, Virginia. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Dixie.
Hello.
What's going on? Hi, Dixie. Hi.
I'm trying to guess the name of the person that you're asking
you
about.
Need to get
that,
you dressed.
Who whatever do you think that it is you're trying to get the name of.
Yeah, who do you think it is?
I think it's Joe Biden.
No, definitely not on my show. Yes. I would never have any politician as part of our fun show. But thanks, Dixie. David in Alaska. Are you really in Alaska, David?
Yep, lived here my whole life.
David, you know, it makes me so happy that that station carries this show. And we always include Alaska weather in our weather reports. I hope you've noticed that.
Yes.
All right, who do you think that is?
Tom Cruise.
We need to get you dressed.
No, but thank you very much for the call, David. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to us in Alaska. All right, let me narrow this down and help you. The person who is saying this, hello.
We need to get you dressed.
Is under 30, has unusually long hair, and you know who he is. Dave in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
You just turned me off, Walter. I thought it was Kurt Russell in Breakdown.
No, so what do you do in Kansas City? No, what do you do in Kansas City? How are you doing?
Well, I'm blessed, first off. Thank you for asking. I enjoy raising my three sons right now.
How old are they, Dave?
Believe it or not, they're 4, 10, and 20, and I'm 63. My wife's a young 48. She wanted a baby about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Well, mine are 9, 16, and 18. And we are blessed. I have three daughters, and they're 9, 16, and 18. And they're always speaking. They always make demands.
I believe that they're kind of bosses sometimes around the house. Well, I have a daughter that's 28 that's moved out. She was valedictorian. I'm real proud of her. And a good role model for my three sons. So. Yeah.
And I love the plaza in Kansas City at Christmas time. It's my favorite place to be at Christmas.
It's very festive and nostalgic. It's pretty cool.
Sure, yes, is, Dave. Well, so you like my show, Dave?
I try not to miss it. Son sitting behind me now. We're chilling out just listening to it.
Thank you. Now tell me, I don't mean this egotistically, because it helps me improve the show. Tell me what it is about the show that you like.
It's authentic and genuine. And you kind of get down to the nitty gritty sometimes. And not a lot of BS and politics. And that's,
No politics. No politics, buddy.
Yeah, because that's just the stomach turns right now for me, all both sides, so, at times.
The problem with the politics, and I don't understand why any radio station does the politics, the problem with it is there are only two answers. How boring is that going to be after 10 minutes? There are only two answers. And,
compromise is a bad word.
Dave, what are you crazy, Dave? Compromise? You can't have that. You're nuts.
I know.
Thanks for the call, David. Yeah. I really appreciate you being part of Sterling on Sunday. You are one of the Midnight Misfits. It's 24 past the hour. And the people who join us at this time, you are different. You're not normal. Let me just be clear. And the only thing about this show that's special is that I welcome and encourage people who don't fit in. Because for most of my life, I tried to fit in. I wore Brooks Brothers suits and wingtip shoes, and I lived in the right part of town, and I had my hair cut to a certain length, and I knew how to sit up straight in corporate meetings. I knew how to look as though I belonged. I did not belong. I was never comfortable in normal people's situations, ever. And now that all the grown-ups are in bed, I can share with you honestly about how hard that is. It started when I was in first grade. And I was standing in the kindergarten, and I was looking out at kids playing in the playground, and they all seemed to know how to play with each other. And I did not know how to play with them. I did not get those rules. And even when I got involved with the game, I didn't know what the game was. This was always a problem. When I got to be a grown-up, and maybe this will be helpful, when I got to be a grown-up, I skipped. I did not take an entry-level job. I did not take an administrative job and work my way up. I never did that. I did what I had to do to get way at the top of whatever company I was at, way at the top, into positions for which I had no business because I didn't have the practical day-to-day experience of managing people, working with others, being a worker among workers. Forget it. I had no my interest was being in charge. And I'd have visions of things that I'd want on the air, because this was always in radio, on the air, and I would be in charge. And I was very comfortable if I was at the top of the food chain. But there's a high price to pay for being at the top of the food chain before you belong there. You get eaten. Like, I was an executive vice president at NBC when I was 26 years old. And what most of my colleagues said to me at NBC was, how did you get this job? And rather than, hey, we have some ideas, let's share them, let's work together. No, it was always, how did you get this job? And the answer was, I asked for it. That's how I got to be an executive vice president at NBC when I was 26, because I asked for it. And then I had the luck of the CEO of NBC at the time was somebody who had also been a vice president at 26, except at CBS. He also jumped the line. The two of us had this shared bond. We had jumped the line. And he protected me, but I had no friends. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter if I pretended to get along with everybody. Nobody wanted me near them. Because, like, you know, hi, we're 50, we're putting our kids through college, and you're 26, you're barely out of college. We have nothing in common. And that was my experience. It was, however, painful. You might think, well, gee, it must have been pretty cool to have that job at 26. It was on paper. It was to be able to say, well, you know, I'm an executive vice president, and I'm 26. Yeah, that does sound pretty good. However, I had no friends. I had no friends in the company. They were waiting. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for me to make one mistake. And the spears would come out and I would be gone. And I'll tell you, the day my contract ended there, I was gone for that very reason. Did I exacerbate the situation? Of course, I was an arrogant jerk. But that was from fear of having that job without credentials. That was my experience. Therefore, I have always been a misfit. And I understand what it's like to be a misfit. I have started the Midnight Misfit Club. You go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com, and you'll see Midnight Misfits. One of the tabs is Midnight Misfits. And you'll see a Midnight Misfit membership card. Print it out. It's free, totally free. Very colorful. And it has information about what you have to do to be a misfit, what your obligations are to be part of the club, and also a decoder card that enables you to understand what I say when I give out secret messages. Now, coming up in seconds,
we need to get you dressed.
I will tell you who that was, because I know you want to know.
We need to get you dressed.
Very long hair, under the age of 30, but you do know who it is. And if you want to take one last guess, my number is 888-688-WALT. In seconds, I'm going to share with you the dumbest decision that I believe any court has made in years. A guy was convicted for something that, in my opinion, he should have never been convicted for. All right, the name of the show is Sterling on Sunday, 3 hours every Sunday night, Sterling on Sunday. This is only
a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. This is normally the hottest time of the year out west, the first 2 weeks in August. And the forecast shows exactly that, more dry heat, which is exactly what we don't need with wildfires in the Pacific Northwest. We're looking for 99 degrees in Boise, Idaho, 108 in Redding, California, 100s all week in Vegas, with smoke and haze in the air from the wildfires. Denver, 97 degrees, 100 degrees in Sacramento. Portland, Oregon, 106 on Thursday. Seattle, 93 degrees on Friday. The summer monsoons return to the desert southwest, meanwhile, close to 100 in Phoenix, with thunderstorms on the forecast on Tuesday. Albuquerque, New Mexico, around 90, with thunderstorms Thursday and Friday. Now, if you want to escape the heat, why not try Fairbanks, Alaska? Chances showers all week long, with a high right around 60 degrees. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
My guppies are my life. And I love displaying them because I think my guppies may be the best in the entire world. But first you have to go to a show and display it with competitors with the same type of guppies. So this is how you prepare guppies for a show. The guppies need to be about 6 months of age, depending on the strain, to be at their absolute beautiful peak when they go before the judges with a discerning eye. So 6 months before a show, I make sure the fry are kept in separate aquariums. And as time goes on, as they grow and develop, I begin to notice which ones are particularly beautiful, which ones have the best traits that I'm after. You feed the guppies well, live baby brine shrimp, frozen foods. You feed them good flake foods. And with all hope, you'll have a winner at the Guppy Show coming up. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is the Sterling on Sunday Fishing Report. I'm deadliest catcher, Velo Hool.
It's the sickest thing. There's no other network show that has this feature. Now, one of the things that I became obsessed with while my wife and kids were out of town, they were out of town for a whole week, and I was blessed. It was a blessing. And I became obsessed with Undercover Boss, the TV show Undercover Boss. They take the president or COO or CEO of a company, put them in a bad wig, and then have them do menial labor among their workers. Always surprised that their one is menial worker, and two, that I didn't know that they did this. Oh my gosh. And then at the end of the week, they sit down with the people who trained them and they say, I had no idea you worked this hard, and they give them a new car. It's like The Price is Right, but they have to work. And it's pretty entertaining, but one of the things I noticed was that Undercover Boss never goes into a media company. They never go into a TV station or radio station. They never cover a media company. And I've studied this very carefully. They always go into sandwich shops. There's just so many times that I need to know what's going on secretly in a sandwich shop. Then I said, well, let's do what we can do to discover what Undercover Media Boss would be like.
Since it debuted, Undercover Media Boss has placed over 400 media bosses in embarrassing situations. They wear bad wigs and pretend to be like normal workers to learn about the suffering of their workers.
Whew, I'm very nervous about going undercover on the local Channel 19 newscast. I hope nobody recognizes me. You see, my name is John, but undercover, I'll be John Joe. Here we are on the floor of the studio to discover how media workers are being treated.
Oh no, I have to push the camera closer to the anchor woman because she can't even say coming up next without a mistake. Oh, you're our new 60-year-old trainee, Fat John Joe. Hi, John Joe, you sure are old.
Thanks, yeah. I'm here to learn. What is the most important thing for me to know here at Channel 19, which I secretly run?
You must first do simple tasks. I'm taking you to the control room, and you'll be the director of our show.
Now? I've never been in a TV station before, even though I secretly run this one.
Sit down, mop head. Direct. Ah, that was horrible. I would never hire you. Listen, John Joe, do you know the vending machines are always empty? Always. We don't have central air conditioning, only loud window units. And of course, my mother has cancer and my sister lives in a car.
How will the workers of the TV station react when they learn that John Joe is John, the CEO of the TV station?
Listen, little dweeby, I'm really the CEO of the TV station, not John Joe, cheap labor with a wig.
Oh, no, that's harassment and inappropriate behavior in the workplace.
You know, your story about the air conditioning touched me deeply. I'm going to have blocks of ice delivered to your control room every week. And, dweeby, your story about your sister living in a car? Here are the keys to a new car.
As the months went on, Dweeb's sister burned the new car by falling asleep, smoking in the back seat, drunk. Next time, more CEOs will wear bad wigs on Undercover Media Boss.
News at 5, 6, and 10. Nobody does it better.
We need to get you dressed.
All right, coming up in just seconds, I will tell you who that is, the mystery voice tonight. It's 43 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. Remember when you started college or you went away from home for the first time? You were homesick, and you looked for things that made you feel comfortable. And one of those things is something you put against your body on a regular basis, and it's a towel, the set of towels. Many people got towels from their mom or their dad, or they stole them from the linen closet, and then they had them for 10 years. It was ridiculous. You need your own set of towels. You need your own set of towels in the colors you want, in the sizes you want. And the best place to get your own set of towels or to give a set of towels is from MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Here's what they give in their special kit, which is an astonishing offer. You get two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths that are typically $109.99. But for a very limited time, MyPillow is offering them for $39.99. They're usually $109. They are now $39.99. If you go to the MyPillow.com site, you will see a square that says radio offers. Click on it. Put in the name Walter, and you will watch. It's so hot. You will see the prices drop instantly from $109 to $39.99. You get two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. The other aspect of this is they aren't all just one color. You will see many, many, many colors, and you can pick the colors you want. These become your towels. MyPillow.com. Click on the center square, put in the name Walter, and you will watch the prices drop. I mean, it's amazing to see it go from $109.99 to $39.99, so you get the set of towels you deserve. MyPillow.com.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again, they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
We need to get you dressed.
Our mystery voice is Dylan Sprouse, Cole Sprouse's twin brother, the Suite Life on Deck, the Disney Channel show that featured the two blonde-haired twins. Well, now they're all grown up, and that was Dylan Sprouse. And that audio is from a very grown-up video. Yeah, he said it. Dylan Sprouse. You want to hear it again? Here you go.
We need to get you dressed.
All right. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 3 hours with you every Sunday night. This is a pretty good night. I think we've done all right tonight. Shane Goldsby killed his cellmate after the 70-year-old teased Goldsby with details of his sister's rape. A Washington State inmate was sentenced to another 25 years in prison for murdering his cellmate, a convicted child sex offender who raped his sister. Shane, who's only 26, was sentenced to this week after he beat to death his 70-year-old cellmate. He was reportedly serving a 43-year-old sentence for his child sex crimes. Goldsby said he snapped after his cellmate began teasing him with details about the rape, which later proved to be true. Here's this guy in a cell. That's bad enough. And it turns out that his creepo cellmate, a sex offender of the highest order, raped his sister. Raped this guy's sister, not his own sister, but his cellmate's sister. The cellmate listens to this, listens to him describing his sister's suffering, listens to him describe the details of how he raped his sister, and the guy went crazy, and he beat the guy to death. He beat him to death in the common area of the prison. For this, he got an additional 25-year sentence. Now, in court, he was contrite, apologetic, apologized to the family 100 different ways, said he couldn't imagine, you know, putting a family through this. I look at it quite differently. You're in jail, you're in a cell, and your cellmate starts telling you that he raped your sister, and then he gives details about how he raped your sister and forced you to listen to the details of how he raped your sister. And the state of Washington is saying they should have never been in the same cell. Really? Are you sure? You want to think that through? They put them in the same cell. And they're saying it should have never happened. The two of them should have never been in the same cell. This is one of those horrendous bureaucratic mix-ups that resulted in a death. But more importantly, how did this guy get 25 more years for killing a man who was telling him how he raped his sister? What could be more heinous than having to listen to a man tell you how your sister was raped? Oh, I know. After having to hear this, you get to go to jail for 25 more years. I think he had the worst lawyers in history. that this happened. The state of Washington should have been sued up the wazoo for putting the two of them in the same cell. An unbelievable suffering that this man was put through. And instead, he's standing in court begging forgiveness of the murder victim's family to get a lighter sentence. And I'm sure he believes it. I'm sure he thinks it. But, oh, my gosh, let's just imagine that hell. He said he snapped after the other guy began teasing him with details about the rape, which later proved to be true. I had so much stuff going on in my head, he told the outlet. I wasn't stable at that point. I was getting to that point because Munger kept wanting to give me details about what happened to my sister, about the photos and the videos of him doing this stuff. It was building up. He told the outlet, the TV station, he had requested a new cellmate from the Washington Department of Corrections, which has a policy preventing such prison living arrangements. The DOC told KHQ television that screeners had no knowledge about the two's connection when they were placed together following an internal investigation. According to court documents, Goldsby attacked Munger from behind in the prison's common area and hit him in the face 14 times, then stomped on his head at least 4 times before walking away. I'm sorry, that's bad. That's not the spiritual way to react. But how else are you going to react? You're a prisoner. You're in there for, you know, God knows how long. This guy turns out to tell you how your sister was raped, that there's video and photos of it. And, well, how are you supposed to react? You're supposed to sit down and pray with him? And nothing will happen to the people running to the Department of Corrections in the state of Washington. Nothing. No one will be fired. No one will be fined. No one will be punished. Nothing. Instead, this poor guy has to not only live with the knowledge that his sister was raped by this creep, that there's photo and video that his sister was raped by this creep, but now he has to serve 25 years for killing the creep. And I don't think he should serve one day. In my opinion, I don't think he should have to serve one day. What do you think? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. The problem with most situations involving the Department of Corrections is that the courts and the lawyers often make mistakes. And the mistakes have to do with the number of people in prison who had to be represented by rookie public defenders, well-meaning, incredibly overworked public defenders. And these are complex cases, often complex cases, given to the rookie. I can't imagine how many people are in jail right now who are, in fact, innocent. They don't just say it, and are suffering because of it, as is their family. I have great empathy for you. Well, what are we going to do? We have 3 more exciting minutes. I'll tell you what. Next week on Sterling on Sunday, we will have yet another usual edition where I do my best to bash public radio, which I feel is one of the great wastes of all times. You ever notice on public radio that they talk like this? They never talk any more loud than this. And do you know why they talk like that? It's because they truly believe that you're stupid. They truly believe they have to speak slowly to the listener in order for the listener to understand anything that's being said. I'm not kidding. And then I want to talk to a trucker next week. I want to know what's going on in trucker world. Let's see what I got here. And that's what I got. And then we will do the usual edition, the drive-through brew, because it's the time of year for the drive-through brew. This is the time. This is the peak season. If you go to a drive-through brew, be sure to get the T-shirt. That's the real value. It's not the beer. You don't need any more beer. You've had enough beer. It's the T-shirt that says that you went to the drive-thru brew. That's what everybody needs to have. I'm going to the Outer Banks this week, and I'm going to spend time with my sister-in-law and her husband. This is a special form of hell that I've managed to avoid the past 2 years, but not this year. Oh, no. This year, I will have to spend a week with my sister-in-law, who is in charge of my marriage. She is in charge of my marriage, how I furnish the house, how much money I should be making. Every single thing that I have to do is because of my sister-in-law. When you find yourself in a situation like that Grubhub driver found himself in, where he saw the two little kids might have been in a very stressful situation, that's a plea for help. And your job and mine is to help somebody when the need is obvious. And you can make that mistake. It's okay to make the mistake. Gee, it turns out they didn't need help. That's fine. You extended your help yourself, and you said, you know, I'm going to help this situation. There's the old lady going across the street. There's the person who's blind that needs somebody to shop for them. There's nothing wrong with extending yourself and then finding out they really didn't need any help. That's okay. It's when you and I walk away from the opportunity to afford help that it's a very serious missed opportunity. It's a little test from the higher power to see what we're going to do, how we're going to deal with that. That's been my experience. So now, for the past few years, every time I get close to being able to help somebody, and I'm no saint, I help them. I do whatever I can. I help them. And it's always surprising to me just how appreciated it is. The greatest gift that you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.